Honorable members, welcome to this meeting. I think there's welcome to this meeting. The Honorable Minister and his team, welcome to this meeting. We might be having, I hope and I assume, we won't have a much longer, but time will tell, proceedings today. Mainly we are dealing with issues that relate to forensic reports and other related matters, particularly post visits to most of the areas, including the visit we had in Mossel Bay. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, Chair, and our guest. I've got only one apology from Mr. Flash. He's going to join us after 30 minutes, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, being the case, as it may, from the department, any apologies? Aswabam, Parat Nindau. Okay. In the absence of apologies, Honorable Minister, your dear friends are here, except one, but I'm sure they're capable, or two. We, just for your information, we were joined by, joined by Honorable Madogwe, who's replacing your dear friend, Uba Mohlonyane, but also Babu Mthenjane, has been replaced by Uba Bulanga, as an alternate. Then, Babu Nxumalo has been replaced by Professor Msima. And Honorable Phillips has been replaced by Honorable Lorema. I assume between you and Honorable Lorema is a reunion again. But having said so...
Joyous, Mr. Chair.
Having said so, let's give over to the department, Honorable Minister, you are here. Now, I'm not assuming, I don't think there's any authority above you that we may assume that is not even here. So we'll give it to you to lead the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Running a department complex as mineral resources and energy without a deputy is quite an issue. It's too big, it's too heavy. And maybe that I'm here to reunite with Honorable Lorema. And I can see that in the overfill benches, they are changing people all the time. I don't know why is that the case. On our side, we've got a big delegation. We've got the Director General, we've DDG Makubela, we've DDG Nwabe, we've Chief Inspector of Mines, Tim Caesar, Deputy Director General, Jane Bale, Deputy Director General, P. Kamede, Deputy Director General Z. Mbambo, Chief Financial Officer Y. Chetty. and we've got people who are support staff in my office. On the subsidiaries, we've got a chairperson Noah and Dr. Pulu, Chief Operating Officer Dr. Mukoka, chairperson of PetroSA, Franz Baleni, and CEO Pragas Naidu. So PetroSA, I call them in full because they're the heart of the discussion. So we've got Anne Magubane and Dademwar. Chairperson of IGES, Ms. Thondra is here. Chairperson of AE, Mr. Ndala is here, and acting CEO Zedzim Zubisi. And chairperson of PASA, M. Masuk and CEO P. Masangani. So that is our delegation, chairperson. Let me just introduce the subject and allow Dr. Pulu to get into the technical aspects. I think the most important thing is the merger of three entities, PetroSA, SFF, IGES, with the objective of setting up a formidable, sustainable petroleum company for the country. We set time frames that we must work at net break speed to achieve this, otherwise we're going to be in trouble. Now we're going to give you a report of how far we are. The first thing we must appreciate is the fact that this was a cabinet decision. And when we finish a phase, we must go back to the cabinet and say, this is where we are, here are the options. That is our disposal, so that the cabinet can discuss and say to us, okay, right, this option is more viable. And we also explain why do we think any option is viable. And we're here now to the portfolio committee to give you the update of where we are. One of the issues that we must appreciate is that all these three entities are creatures of statute. All of them, they are creatures of statute. So as we move with the speed, there will be a point where we must go back to the legislation that actually created these entities and see where do we need to have amendments and then come back and report. So that is how far we are. We're at a point now where we're tabling options to the cabinet. And we'll table those options here for you to say, yes, go ahead. The other report, request and forensic reports, will be added by the entity. That is what I wanted to say. And then over to Ms. Noah, who is the president of SEF, to introduce the CEO, and then we'll continue. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable members and honorable chair of the committee, I would like to greet all of you. Good morning. Also to our shareholder, the minister, good morning, honorable minister, colleagues from the department, the DG, the DDGs, and the support team that is present this morning, and also my colleagues from the SEF group, the SEF family. I would like to greet everyone, and thank you very much for the opportunity to present today. I'm not going to walk over the agenda that the minister has already outlined. Suffice to say that just from a board point of view, you can get assurance that we have certainly put the governance and the financial sustainability and stewardship of the SEF group definitely on the center of our agenda to make sure that all the matters that are going to be discussed today are actually put on the agenda, and we monitor them on a regular basis to make sure that governance is promoted and consequence management is actually enforced. We will certainly continue on that, and what you will hear today, as the Minister has already said, is more around progress on what we have done up to date regarding the merger, looking at the forensic reports. We have quite a bit that we are going to be sharing with yourselves, specifically Project Ikwezi and other matters that are currently under investigation, and what is going to be done in terms of consequence management. Honorable Chair, I do want to introduce the CE now, who is going to take us through the presentation. I would also like to apologize up front. I know you did say that the apologies need to be reflected at the beginning, but as I had already indicated, I am attending to a personal emergency in the family, which I would like to be excused for, and my sincere apologies for that. But Ms. Sondlo will definitely take accountability from a board point of view to ensure that there is continuity for the matters that are going to be discussed. So at this point, I would like to introduce our CEO, who is going to take us through the presentation, and he will be supported by the subsidiary CEOs where it is relevant. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to the portfolio, to the Minister, the Chair of the Portfolio Committee, the Honourable Members and colleagues. Thank you very much for the opportunity in order to improve the quality of the presentation. I would switch off the camera shortly. But in terms of the content, we will be sharing on the project status update and the group forensic reports and also Project Ikwezi. Now, in terms of the background, honorable members would recall that the cabinet mandated us to ensure that we merged the three subsidiaries as per the State of the Nation of the 10th of February in 2020. And that purpose, basically, that was meant to repurpose and rationalize the state-owned entities. As a result, we have since started with the process wherein we undertook to merge IGES, Petrus A and SFF as it were. What is of significance to note is that we have solvency and liquidity challenges, particularly at Petrus A, and therefore this rationalization would go a long way in terms of stabilizing the group, as it were. In terms of key milestones, what you see on the screen there, you would see that the STIECO kicked off on the 15th of September, as it were, and then wherein we started with phase 1A, wherein we dealt with the strategy and measure design. In that process, we looked at the project enablement elements, including your integration management office work together with leadership culture and change initiatives. In green is all the activities that were completed by now, and on the gray ones are basically what still needs to be completed, wherein work is still underway. And then the second block, which was then the work of 20, 4 weeks later, we looked into the strategic business design, wherein we looked at corporate value and the plans, the growth acquisition work, and the business model. And the last aspect of the working, the key working areas, we looked into the operating design. In the operating design, we looked at work like work that was completed, is your IT assessment, for an example, your high-level design of the business model and the major archetypes, including the funding strategy. All of those were completed. Now, for the past 5 months, significant progress have been made towards the establishment of the South African National Petroleum Company. One, the baseline work, for an example, as alluded earlier on, is that the detailed assessment and benchmark of operations and finances, governance and operating model were completed. We also identified, or the assessment showed that there is a potential of 1.4 billion synergy potential through business operation optimization. And in terms of the strategy itself, the vision, mission, and strategic objective of the National Petroleum Company were defined with the detailed models for pro forma financial statements and funding schedule, drafted comprehensive corporate plan for the final approval, as it were, and it will be approved this week at the STEECO. Further than that, in terms of the operating model, the detailed organizational structure and job descriptions and business options and processes are also completed, and we define the transition board and executive structure, and the secondment requirement and appointment processes are also ready to be implemented. In terms of the stakeholder engagement, of course, we have been meeting with various stakeholders through the town halls, newsletters, face-to-face interactions. Included in that list is basically both our employees as individuals, in some instances in smaller groups, and also your, through union engagements and the management teams, as it were. And this is also done through various other structures that are developed as a result of this project. And also in terms of the major archetype, a comprehensive due diligence was done to assess the most probable major archetype. And the out of the due diligence, recommendations were made for a measure through the lease and assign model. And we provided input on preferred major archetype to the department for submission to cabinet. In terms of the legal work itself, a detailed due diligence, like I said, was conducted on assets, contracts, and the liabilities and the rights and licenses governing the legislation. And all other agreements are almost at the point of completion. Others are completed already. And in terms of the PFMA Section 51 and 54, the application for incorporation as an SOE is also ready. In terms of the project risk, we must say that, you know, we continue to close project deliverables as per the project plan. However, execution of critical or paralyzation of the actions is highly dependent on the covenant approval, which the minister has alluded to, that it would be undertaken soon. And in terms of the CPI registration, we cannot do that until we get a direction from the ultimate shareholder in as far as the next steps are concerned. And again, in terms of the coming weeks, we will then await the approval and also to finalize the corporate plan, as it were. Like I said, on Thursday, the STEECO would sit to approve the corporate plan of the NewCo and to operationalize the transition board and executive committee, of course, following approval by cabinet, and to operationalize transitionary business functions in order to then provide a more focused support for post-registration processes, and to finalize and enter into legal agreements for the listener sign. Chairperson, if you may allow me then to continue with the presentation until the end, and then we'll take questions. In terms of the forensic report, investigations at Petro SA, our biggest subsidiary, is that there are issues of serious allegations of mismanagement which were brought to the attention of the board in relation to the HR function, procurement contracts, feedstock processes, shutdown processes by labor, and the board then undertook these investigations which are directed by SERF. The investigation basically focuses on the process of voluntary severance packages, if there's any contravention on the appointment of related vice president, the procurement and contract, contracts which focus on evergreen, contracts were looked into or are still underway, compliance to the PFMA, the constitution, the broad-based black economic empowerment, the foreign transactions, issues of feedstock procurement and reason for extended shutdown of the refinery at the time. And the key findings and impact is that the report is at the final stage and would be finalized now in March, following which consequence management will depend on the outcome of the report. Key outcomes, of course, subject to the finalization of the report itself, and if there are any matters that need to be referred to the law enforcement agency, we have been instructed, and indeed, from a fiduciary point of view, we would refer them to the law enforcement agency. From Safstock, as a company itself, there are issues of forensic investigations that are underway that you are dealing with issues of misstatements and impairments in the annual financial statements, insubordination, alleged money laundering, and failure to implement the Solar project, as it were. The purpose and scope of such is basically to focus on a late delay on the implementation of this critical program and the failure to reinstate officials in acting position to their substantive position, as it were, failure to establish the board procurement and finance committees, and the alleged insubordination and the payments affected on behalf of PASA by self-treasury and fraudulent offshore account. Key findings, the investigation is underway. Consequence management will obviously depend on the outcome thereof, and upon which then the process of enforcement and consequence management will follow. From SFF point of view, matters that are now public domain is the issue of the strategic stock, as alluded earlier on, that the 10 million barrels was unlawfully sold to a number of trading companies without proper authorization of the SFF and the SERF boards, and the then Minister of Energy for concurrence further by National Treasury in terms of the Section 54 of the PFMA and the contradiction or contravention of the Constitution and the Companies Act. In terms of the scoping, the investigation focused on contract validation, the role of key players including management and the financial trade, email correspondences, and in terms of the finding, the report currently is with the Hawks, and the lawyers are looking at the consequence management processes. Key outcomes is that the Hawks are handling the criminal case, which is at the delicate stage at this point in moment. And on the 20th of November, the court also agreed to reverse the crude oil sale and the SFF got back ownership of the crude oil. However, an adverse finding was made against us as the group and SFF for on payment on the hedging costs and legal costs in respect to the two. The traders, in favor of the traders, an appeal has been launched by ourselves with the High Court in that regard. In terms of the other issues, again, of forensic at SFF, there's also another case that is related to the first one of 300,000 barrels of crude oil that was unlawfully loaned to EnviroShore without proper approvals from SERV Board, the Minister and National Treasury. The scoping included allegation of irregularities in respect of the award of the contract, the decision leading to the up and subsequent to the concluding of that SFF Ochi storage facility and the processing of the sludge from the mine and pumping water from the boreholes agreement between the SFF Association and EnviroShore Trade and Logistics Company in January the 10th of 2014. The report itself is also with the Hawks and the, upon therefore in terms of the outcomes, the Hawks are investigating a possible criminal case and forensic investigations are concluded. A claim has been received from Acura, the company that bought the 300,000 barrels from EnviroShore, claiming that the former CEO gave Acura a guarantee that the crude oil brought from EnviroShore was unencumbered, and SFF signed a storage agreement for the 300,000 barrels, and SFF is in negotiation with Acura to resolve the matter. In terms of the process, we felt that it was necessary to also allude what was expected in terms of the process. On the 6th of, just by way of background, of October 2015, the then acting CEO of SFF wrote a letter to the Minister of Energy requesting a ministerial directive for stock rotation. On the 8th of October 2015, Minister Jumaat issued a directive in response to the acting SFF CEO, correspondent of the 6th. The minister imposed the following condition: that any rotation of strategic stock will be undertaken with the ministerial approval, preceded by detailed due diligence undertaken by SFF and supported with comprehensive motivation to the minister. Two, the integrity of our strategic stock levels must be assured at all instances, said the minister. Three, the trading division should be established within SFF and must be appropriately staffed with skilled personnel and resources to undertake trading activities which must generate revenue for SFF. Four, SFF shall provide monthly report to the minister and the department on all activities in relation to the directive granted. I continue. The strategic stock sold when the market was in contango without having a back-to-back purchase in agreement. Now, not assuming that everyone is fair with the jargon, when the market is in contango, it means that the forward price of the future of the futures contract is higher than the spot price. And conversely, when it is in the opposite, the forward price of the futures contract is lower than the spot market, just for the purpose of clarity. The process followed by the then CEO was not transparent, was not fair, was not equitable. The acting CEO failed to comply with the conditions of rotation stock laid down by the minister on the 8th of October 2015 and SFF board on the 23rd of November 2015. SFF Exco members only became aware of the minister's in-principle approval of the disposal on the 13th of November 2015. The acting CEO elected to follow a negotiated process instead of an open binding process for the strategic stock disposal. no really convincing reason why I was supplied for the utilizing of the negotiations without the open process, as it were. Required process that should have been followed. One is that a fair and transparent procurement process was supposed to have been basically followed for the rotation in adherence to the procurement processes. In terms of the supply chain policy, the SFF should have been adhered to, and it was not. Establishment of the trading function as a condition of approval was not done. The approvals of SFF Exco and board for the rotation was not sought, and the submission to the SFF board for approval in compliance to the materiality of the transaction was not also sought. Approvals required in addition to the adherence to the directive, after the SFF approvals, there would have been a need for ministerial, which is the executive authority for approval, as well as the national treasury concurrence, and also the broad adherence to the Companies Act. Key lessons learned is that none of the above approvals were sought by the acting CEO then, and that there was no rotation as proposed to the minister, but it was rather a disposal as a replacement stock was never purchased. Three is that failure to adhere to the condition imposed by the minister was also established. Four is that SFF was only alerted of the sale when the proceeds were paid into the SFF bank account, which is managed by the SFF treasury. And the last point is that upon inquiry, the SFF board was subsequently advised of the sale by management at the time, and the SFF board then acted immediately. In terms of the SFF, again, another case was that one of 10 million liters which was bought in Zimbabwe from a company called APG and sold to another company, Lion Petroleum, again in Zimbabwe, with no trading license in Zimbabwe. Lion Petroleum did not honor the contract, and SFF has never received the 10 million liters of diesel. The purpose of the forensic was to look into the circumstances surrounding the disposal of the 10 million barrels of strategic crude oil reserves during 2015-2016. The report is currently with the Hawks, and that the Hawks are investigating a criminal case, and that Lion Petroleum was taken to court and SFF won the case. However, the probability of recovery is low, as Lion Petroleum has no assets in South Africa. The lawyers are looking into the possibility of initiating legal proceedings against Lion Petroleum in Zimbabwe. In terms of AE, which is the last issue and matter that deals with this particular group of forensics. From an AE point of view, there was a violation of procurement policy and procedures with unauthorized overseas trips and mismanagement of the AE strategic projects, as well as the abuse of power by the then AE CEO. The purpose of the forensic was basically to look into the violation of procurement policy and procedure, to deal with or to assess allegations of unauthorized overseas trip and mismanagement of AE strategic projects. Key findings and impact was that AE CEO was found to have transgressed procurement policies and mismanagement, or then there was an establishment of mismanagement of company resources. From a consequence management point of view, the CEO and three executives were dismissed. Two other executives and one senior manager resigned before disciplinary processes were instituted. In terms of the outcome, the CEO of AE then has been blacklisted from the future employment with the state. The CEO approached the CCMA, and the matter is at an advanced stage of arbitration. Two other executives also approached CCMA. AE is in the process of instituting civil action against service provider to recover losses by AE. Filing of an affidavit to the Hawks by the investment attorneys has been undertaken, and the action relevant to the third parties, that is the O'Neill's insurance brokers, designation number being unlawfully used by Innovent, would have been also been factored in the affidavit with the folks, with the Hawks, I mean to say, and for action as well. In terms of the last part of the presentation, Chairperson and honorable members, we are dealing with equity report, which members requested to be brought to light in terms of what actually happened. Now, this is quite a technical presentation. One would try to simplify it so that we all are appreciative of the fact. Now, in around the 90s, excuse me, of course, when Petro SA then was supported or got its gas mainly from Block 9 with the various fields, which those colors there, they denote various fields at the time. Your blue one, basically, it will be your FO fields, which were developed, and what you see with those lines there is basically your production level. It means that at that level, which is really 200 million metric scf per day, the refinery was able to run at 3x3. So as the gas gets depleted, you then develop new fields, which your E, your red, your orange one there would be your, what do you call, the EM fields were then developed in order to supplement the gas shortage so that you are able to run the refinery at 3x3. So as you drop your gas fines, basically, or production, you would see that then you get to run at 2x2 and later on at 1x1, which is what we are running at now. So the green one there is the development of what we call Equazi, which is the project in question. What is key of this slide for me is the fact that at some point we're just keeping it for the sake of it, just to prolong perhaps closing the refinery, instead of looking for solution perhaps that would have taken us to full production of 3x3. And that's what we should be aiming for, even as we sort out the challenges at the refinery now, to ensure that we solve the problem permanently and that the refinery runs at full capacity for a number of years to come, because indeed there is a potential in that region. Now, in terms of the fields themselves, I will skip this one because I would also, I think, three, four slides from here, I'm explaining it better with, in more detail or in a more simplified manner. Now, in terms of the Equazi, the project timelines, honorable members, you would notice here that this was the development of what you call the South Coast gas around 2007, as it were, and then it followed by also the developments in 2010, wherein faced with the depleting feedstock challenges and operations at the time running at 2x1, Petros A, under the leadership of the board at the time, embarked on a number of studies to find the best solution to sustain the GTL refinery. A number of options were considered, including, of course, using LNG as a feedstock. The final decision to drill five wells in Block 9 area to find additional guests, though it was, there were inherent risk in the chosen option, but it was at the time the best option. The project was then funded from own balance sheet. Success of the project would have also funded from downstream acquisition. Now, this option then at the time did not go, and we know therefore what then transpired later on. It became that we lost quite a great deal, and we've never recovered technically since then. And in terms of, just to move on, key other timelines that I wanted to highlight, you go, for an example, to the 2011, where final investment decision was made. The approval of the project to proceed, but the approval of drilling and contract was deferred. And this led, therefore, to the delay in terms of the operator to exercise additional options of its contract in Angola at the time. I think it led to about a year's delay as a result. And in 2013, more resources, basically both financial and human resources, were further deployed. The board initiative, there were a number of such initiatives to review to better comprehend the delays of the 2011. And as a result, key milestones were missed, and the finding of case was proving to be a major challenge. And then the SAFE board also intervened at a number of levels at that time. And then we proceed, therefore, maybe to pick up one more milestone, which was in 2015, with the underperformance and impairment losses, a number of executives were then suspended. Now, this was the slide I said I skipped earlier on. So to summarize this slide, this were then the Ikwezi field development here. Now, at the time it was established that without Ikwezi, of course, the refinery would have closed by 2013. At this stage, the projection was that the yield from this field would be around 240 billion cubic feet. And of course, at the date now of writing this report, defines around what, 35 billion cubic feet, as it were. But what is important to note in terms of the actual cost is that when you add that one together, by the time this project was suspended, already 1.2 billion US dollars was expended, which in today's term could be anything around, I think, 14 billion or so, if my memory serves me well, depending on what is the rand dollar exchange. Now, what then transpired in terms of governance or attempts to correct and enhance governance initiatives, a number of investigations were undertaken throughout, as you can see, by a number of companies. CRM, for an example, dealt with the governance and risk issues in 2011, and in 2012, the KPMG again dealt with the issue of governance, wherein deficiencies in governance structures were identified compared to best practices, and comments on changes in the project structure and personnel changes were done, were at the time was feasible. And the issues of governance and risk again came in 2013, this time by DNV Risk Review, wherein Petrosa conducted a number of such risk assessment and still assess what would be the, what was at the time the relevant risk baseline. Risk management team methodology were developed, qualitative provides were made for communication and rating capital projects, and recommendations for improvements were also included at the time. And perhaps to get to the last one, just by way of highlighting, is that IPA review as well looked into the project management itself, the issues there that the project did not meet the final investment decision business objectives, and that the three contractual changes made post the final investment decision by management undermined key elements of project definition and negatively impacted on the schedule. And inadequate project status reporting initially and observations that inadequate attention was given to risk department reporting to governance structures seen as barriers for bad news, and recommendations were made in that regard. And this then continued again with external consultants, investigations again continued, including again one by Kovoto in 2015. Again, there were two, as said earlier on. Here, they looked into issues of expenditure, which was incurred in the drilling of the FO-12 pilot well, and were actually, they established that the process itself was actually authorized by the board as part of the revised budget and approved in 2014. Now, the CNG investigation of the Petro SA performance and the 14.5 billion impairment charge reports were prepared for Petro SA for purposes of investigations. They are protected by legal privilege as the reports contain sensitive information. Information provided in the document issued with this presentation to the board of directors should be treated with confidentiality with the sensitivity that requires. An amicable termination of CEO and CFO contracts of employment and restatement of the VP upstream was followed. Now you could see the impact of basically termination in terms of the NPV. The project moved from a positive to a negative in 2013-2014 when the impairment were realized, and that would have been the adjustments there, but the project continued basically in the negative in terms of the net present value. I have touched on this one as well in the report, honorable members. I just want to see what I've left, what is key. Just one second, honorable members. In terms of the lessons learned, honorable members, it would be that the method of contracting, which was really central to the losses that the project realized, was that our contracting methods are such that normally they don't protect the entities. And moving forward, it's one of the key things that we are encouraging the team to say, make sure that before you can move on any contract that you protect the interest of the group first, and therefore ensure that if there are penalties to be enforced, in fact, some of the contracts, there's been an issue that penalties were not affected. But now there is the standing and a more focused issue to say there should be a penalty clause and those should be enforceable. Major capital projects should not be fast-tracked as per the IPA recommendation, because this project was like 30% faster than normal in terms of their benchmark at the time. And that changes in the feed and the final investment decision should not, post the final investment decision, there shouldn't be changes to the scoping, because otherwise it creates all these sort of things wherein the project gets out of their control and there are more and more overruns. And recognizing that Petro SA no longer has the resources needed to execute major capital projects. The forward corporate plans emphasis on the technical and financial partnership strategies will reduce PetroSA risk to ensure the increase in its ability to successfully execute future capital projects. And in terms of the remaining issues on PetroSA itself, we would say that the PetroSA issued a notice of suspension to the regulator in 2015. The suspension was accepted, but may be challenged. PetroSA has not yet fulfilled its work program obligation under the production right awarded to PetroSA. That is the drilling and completion of the five wells. PetroSA completed only three wells, and unless the work program is formally changed to work already completed, there remains a risk that PetroSA could be deemed non-compliant to its obligation should there be no clear effort demonstrated to work towards continuing post-suspension. In worst case scenario, PetroSA may lose the right to produce from the right itself. The award of production rights to an operator requires an operator to use best efforts to bring a BE partner on board during the production period. PetroSA has not pursued this given the challenges experienced with Ikwezi and may be challenged, as was the case before, by local companies of being in breach of the obligations associated with the right itself. That will be the end of the presentation, honorable members. I've dealt with the fields earlier on and the budget itself. If you look into this one, your total cost, as I said in one of the slides, is $1.2 billion. Thank you, honorable members. We'll take questions.
I thought there is still a minister in this department and a chair on the board of staff, but if they don't know how to use power, welcome to me.
Chairperson, we have Vamos Upolo. He says, we'll take questions. He's taking over. What do you do when he takes over? You go on strike, you know. We'll take the questions, Honorable Chair. You'll see that most of the reports go back some few years back, and it reflects the mop-up work that we're trying to do, quite heavy and difficult. I revert back to you, Comrade Chairperson. We'll take questions. It's me who's saying that is not.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Minister, and your team, Mampolo, and the Chair of Staff. For the presentation. I want to suggest, honorable members, we start to do it this way. It's two presentations in one. I dare say there's a possibility it can even be three presentations in one. Can we start with the merger first and then dispense with it, and then we will go back now to the report, forensic reports that were made, including other additional information that was done. I will make my observation as time goes on the presentation. Let me, I see the hand of Oh, I thought the end of Honorable Lorema was here. I don't know. It's taken a reverse maybe because I said we'll start with the merger. I see the hand of Honorable Milam. Is there any other hand? Okay, Honorable Milam, you seem to be on your own. Oh, Honorable Malinga. Honorable Kula. You'll bear with me, I've got a problem with writing with my hand. So I've got three. It's Honorable Milam, Honorable Malinga, and Honorable Kula. I won't come back until Honorable Kula. So when Honorable Milam finishes, Honorable Malinga will come in, so will Honorable Kula. I'll only come at the after Honorable Kula. Honorable Milam, you can start.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I'd like to thank the presenter for the presentation. I do have several questions around the merger. My first question is this. You've obviously been doing a fair amount of work since the project kicked off in September last year. What is the proposed organizational structure of the new entity? What is the proposed mandate of the new entity? What are the merger costs? In other words, what are the costs of actually merging these various entities together? What is that going to cost the country? And lastly, what is the expected financial and other benefits from this merger? In other words, what are we trying to achieve with this merger? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the Minister, yourself, members of the Portfolio Committee, staff of DMRE led by DG Mkwena, captains of industries, and our support staff, Parliamentary Secretariat. Chairperson, I did indicate that energy is not my strong point, but let me thank the CEO for clarifying some of the terminology here that I find very difficult to grasp. Chairperson, my question will be, I understand the merger was presented to Cabinet if it comes as a result of Cabinet approval. But listening to all these forensic reports, SFF, Petro SA, WEF, I am not sure, Minister, whether we are going with this merger, we are going to attain what we want to achieve in terms of National Petroleum Company. That will be my question, Chair. I think for now you said we are dealing with the merger. And Chair, as we were visiting Petro SA, I think I also want to ask the organizational structure, how will it be? Because when we were taking a tour at Petro SA in Parole, I saw a lot of offices of BPs. Are they going to scale down on that, or what will be the issue there? Thank you very much, Chair.
No, ndiyabulela esalo. Thank you very much. I only have three questions and one comment. The comment is on a lighter note that it's good to have the minister in the portfolio committee after a very, very long time. The first question, Chair, the report speaks to but not in detail, to the solvency and liquidity challenges and at Petrobras. They are going to understand that with the merger, with this challenge at Petrobras, how is it likely to impact long-term on the merger, Chair? On the progress in the past 5 months, I think the report speaks in detail about how they've been able to deal with some of the issues that we're dealing with. But around the legal issues, they are saying there are some agreements that are still pending. How long are those agreements likely to take, Chair? I know that we said we'll deal with the issue of the forensic report after we've dealt with the question of the matter, but I wanted to know, Chairperson, that with all the red lights that I've seen, the red flags that I've seen in the forensic update report, how are they also going to impact moving forward on the merger? Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, honorable members. Just few issues myself, honorable minister, and your team, right? Because there is no foretelling. I think it's important to accept the fact that cabinet would have agreed on the direction it should take. But I think the first question that arises when it comes to the measure is that probably members were trying also to go to on the same way, similar to what members were raising. But I think the more clarity is the merger is expected to kick off specifically by the 1st of April. It means end of this month. Next month is expected to be a new entity or a new arrangement. What becomes the status of the three entities? What are the transitional arrangements that are being made, and what impacts or what could be the consequences of the 1st of April? I know April Fool's Day. The second thing linked to this, and I'm saying this, I said to members, I was taught that whatever you say, you must say it with due respect and be sensitive. But sensitive as I might be, if you look at IGAS, and I didn't know that IGAS until such time I did my own work and research, that IGAS had only about 3 employees. Now, what is the meaning of a merger of 3 entities with 3 employees? And the point I said I'm sensitive on, honorable minister, was the fact that we got it that the CEO of SEF is acting as the CEO. I don't know whether it's the case or it's true. Is acting as the CEO of IGAS. Now the question, if we are dealing with SEF also being part of overseeing these processes, and one of the executives or the accounting officers at that level is also occupying another position. In fact, the view that I have, that is my view, that in terms of governance, the lines are blurry. Under normal circumstances, some bodies should have been seconded. Maybe you can clarify. Should have been seconded in the department if the point is in relation to the number of employees, that you cannot be able to get someone in that entity acting. And that would have assisted so that when the decision is taken, there's no undue advantage or disadvantage in any way that can arise out of that process. But I'm raising also in a context that if this could be something that is recurring, that somebody can decide to from an executive point of view, be a CEO there and then go and act on a subsidiary that is reporting to him or her. it might have future implications in terms of governance. So I'm just looking at it now. How is that? The third point, which I think to me there has to be clarity. I think it's linked also to the point that members were doing. What could be or would be the finding or the founding legislative framework of that process? And what happens if, and I'm saying if because it has not been here as a total outline, what if that process is impacted on by virtue of the public or consultative processes, both within the executive but also at a legislative level? I think those are the issues so that we can have certainty that it's not going to be something that when we come here, then we are told that no, now the challenge is that this could have been, but we've realized that there is a extensive public participation process that has to be followed. I think that is, to me, the most critical issues that we need to look at. But I was just throwing those issues at this stage, Honorable Minister. But I think you can give the answers. It's up to you. Where do you start and how do you start? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, I will touch on very few issues, then hand over to the team to respond. Let me preface my response by the dichotomy of making a report to the Portfolio Committee before there is a formal engagement with the Cabinet on what direction to take. It becomes a problem in the sense that in the majority of cases we are going to put the cart before the horse, and when you go to cabinet, cabinet says no, don't go that route, and we have committed here, this is the proposal of ancestral structure. And my own view is that I would beg the Portfolio Committee to share that question, because the ultimate organizational structure will depend on the option we're taking. Because if we have not taken an option, we can't have an organizational structure. So I'm begging the Portfolio Committee to solve that question. The mandate, up to now, I'm sure the team will add, one of the things that we have envisaged is the formation of a viable, sustainable petroleum company for the country. That's it. I think it's open-ended enough to actually structure a title as you move on. But the cost to the country, it's a pity that Mr. Mailam asked for the cost and not asked for the benefits. You see, because if you just talk costs, you don't make the distinction between expenditure and investment. And therefore, any money you spend becomes a cost. But if you talk about investment, the intention is to form a viable company that generates revenue. Now, one of the issues that people must remember is that the Petro SA, which is said to be a dog in this equation, if you use a term that is used for a common struggling, you say it's a dog. And the question that we're asking ourselves in the team is, how did Petro SA become a dog when at a point it was a cash flush, when it was giving money in all of them, and then went back and said, visible aspects of the weaknesses is the fact that out of three plants, only one is operational, and therefore it is sustained to continue employing people in the main. And when I talked to the team, I asked them, do you want to keep Petro SA as part of the EPWP? at the level of salaries that were paid. That's why it becomes important to revive it. But I think maybe the few of them, or better say, is represented by the few and the chairperson here, they can talk to the act. It's not as a job as it is appearing to be. It's an external operation. For example, PetroSA Ghana is making money. PetroSA South Africa is a dog. How are we going to use that situation to improve the situation is what I'm living. Will the merger achieve its objective? If you had insurances, you have assurances, you wouldn't try to fix anything, because you'll have to have assurance that it will achieve the objective. The achievement of the objective depends on the resolve and the capacity of the team. My own view is that this team will be able to achieve the results. Offices in Cape Town, I'm leaving that. Legal issues and solvency and liquidity, I'm leaving that. But you must remember what I said. I said these entities are all creatures of statute. So with everything that we do technically, we'll have to go back to the legislative framework. Now, first of April, status of the three entities. Again, we're putting the cart before the horse. You see, what we should avoid in this issue, the reason that but I'm leaving it to the team again to talk to it, but what we tried to avoid in this issue was to try and talk to the current structure and current management. Because once we do that, we will not have the merger. Because instead of doing what is right, we'll try to protect positions of individuals. And our view is that at this point in time, let's forget about position of individuals and look for the appropriate outcome that will be a result of work that is being done in merging the two entities. So what will be the status? Options will determine this. Now, suppose you talk about, I guess, three employees. That was one of the things that we discovered ourselves when we came here, that there are three employees and six board members in IGAS. And we discovered that it was mainly having, and the main asset it was looking at was the gas pipe from Mozambique with Sasol. And that's why it is actually important to merge the two. Now, we used to have a COO there who was there until there was an issue that made us to say, let's suspend that work. We had at work trying to get the best result of this. Now, the person asked us a question. Founding legislative principles. You see, that's why when we try to shape an entity, before we go step by step, we are likely to cause mistakes. Public consultation, they will have an impact, but we have a responsibility to explain as we go public on the matter. Let me leave that Ayanda or Dr. Pulu or Mr. Baleni or Mr. Naidu come to the issues that I have left. And even those I have commented on, you can add your aspect to it.
Or you hear them?
Thank you. The chairperson, if I may come in, if I may just come in on one area. Okay. Thank you, Minister and honorable members. I think the Minister touched on the issue Honorable Malinga raised about visiting PARO offices and many VPs Clearly, once the merger has been completed, you'll be talking about a totally different structure, both in terms of management and the board. And therefore, following what the minister said, please ignore what you are seeing now, because it's going to be a totally different organization once the merger has been completed. Thanks.
I thought perhaps the chairs will come first, but if I may, Minister, through you and Chair, answer one or two as well, and I would just ask my colleague Pragerson, Mr. Naidu, to come in on the, but the office one was dealt with on other PetroSA issues that were raised. But safe to state that in terms of the responses, the work that has been done so far by the consulting company or the consortium suggests that there would be benefit that would be realized through this exercise of between 1.4 to about 2 billion from a benefit point of view through synergies. So that work has been done and modeled. And further than that, in terms of the current cost, the project so far is budgeted for 65 million up until the end of March, as it were, in terms of the budget. And in terms of the market potential, based on the analysis, suggests that if we move now to position the major, the market potential that can be accessed by this new entity ranges from anything between 60 to about 90 billion. That's the market potential in that regard. And later on, as the minister says, when we come back, we will be able to share a lot more detail in that regard. And if perhaps the breakdowns are sought, then they would be presented there, because it's through various initiatives that that market in total, not in total, of course, parts of it could be accessed by various initiatives that are also defined in this model itself. And in terms of the issues of the solvency and liquidity, it is important that we really move with speed, because the merger itself affords the group with the capacity to isolate what you would call bad business from good business and deal with legacy issues over time, but then not hamper attracting investment into the new entity, as it were. So it is a good initiative, and the sooner we move into its operationalization, the better for the group itself, as it were. And in terms of the agreements, from the presentation made, we will be able to complete all agreements that will enable the initiative of the new co by the 25th of March, in terms of the schedule that I is at my disposal. And I would have covered, I suppose, most of those. I would ask, therefore, my colleagues to come in, and Mr. Mohi is also online, should they wish to add, if I left.
Deal with the blurring of lines.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. In terms of that, there is a concept in management that's called, or that deals with the Chinese walls. Of course, one does not act as an individual when it comes to the execution of the work. There are management, Jim Doe Limited, from IGES itself, but decisions get to be made by that small team, of course, supported by the group from an administration point of view, i.e. on the treasury, as even alluded with SFF as well, and i.e. and that whole concept of the limited synergies that were implemented earlier on within the group. So every other decision gets to follow the governance structures. There's management meetings, there is sub-board committees, as it were, and there's also the main board that therefore ultimately takes the decision. And following that, then the decisions are taken to the SEF board, for example, on matters such as your corporate plan. And it's not because I'm the CEO, therefore I'm the only individual that signs off on issues without following the governance structures. Thank you. Colleagues, you can come in where I've missed on issues.
SCE.
Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, greetings to the Chair, Honourable Chair of the Committee, the Honourable Members, Honourable Minister, and all colleagues from the Department and all the subsidiaries. I am Ms. Sondra, as the Chairperson of IGES. I just want to touch on, I think, two things. One has been highlighted by our Honourable Chairperson of the committee, what becomes the status of the three entities once the merger is done. I think in terms of the presentation that was done by the CE, he mentioned that there is a proposed archetype, which is the one that we are proposing it to the cabinet. In that proposal, there is a detailed process of basically how are these three entities going to go, what is going to happen after the merger of those entities, which I think that is the process, the committee, once that process is approved by the cabinet and then the committee, can be given confidence to say processes have been put in place to ring fence, for example, some of the assets of those entities. But there is a detailed engagement in terms of determining what is going to become the status of the three entities once the merger is done. And then, just to comment on the issue of the CEIGES and the CESEF. Basically, if you look at IGES with the three employees, it is actually managed through a memorandum of agreement between SEF and IGES. So that MOI, we monitor it on a quarterly basis, basically to ensure that everything that SEF basically is supposed to do on behalf of IGES, it is done. Even the issue of the perceived conflict of interest would actually be dealt through that process. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I think we've dealt with the questions.
Okay, ubuyisele umdudu balo mna ufuna kube nomdepho, umdepho ufuna ukucinywa umuntu wawo. Okay, thank you Honorable Minister on that thing. Just few issues. Now, I think the first point, and so that I'm very good to avoid even a potential of a dialogue or anything. I think Honorable Mailem, his first question was on the nature and form of the company, but second, if I'm not mistaken, about three was about the cost implication. The last one was about the cost benefit? What are the benefits? I just want so that we just go past this. The second one, I'm the IP minister, we are here today. I should not be saying this, but because we're in the committee, at times what dictates our program is that for accountability purposes that we sit and audit what was said. So when you come, people, when I know you have not been there, by the way, we should have said that I don't remember. If we met, then it might be that thanks that we have survived the this deadly virus and we are with you now again. But secondly, I think we should extend our that you lost one of your relatives, a colleague to us that we were with her here. I think to some degree we should also show that human side on us. But it's also important to say that when we say it's a briefing, I think some of the issues, obviously, if they are still subject to processes, they are okay. But it is also important just to say that if a commitment or a definitive process is given, regrettable in this committee, we follow it until such time we are clear. So this matter is a matter that is outstanding on presentations that we made before. So I just thought that it's important. The last issue, I didn't want us to discuss self per se. The fear that I have is that if this becomes a norm or a precedent, in my view, in terms of governance, that's why I said I'm sensitive to the person, whereas when he's in the meeting. Under normal circumstances, the process is simple, is that from the shareholder's point of view, in this case from the department, some board who may not even have an interest of any of the institutions gets seconded, obviously with the necessary qualification and knowledge of that field, so that the process as it goes smoothly. I'm just saying in future it has to be explained how. And I'm happy the chair of ICAS, I think he tried to explain it properly. But it's not just reduced to self. We may wake up one day, we are told that somebody in this entity is occupying almost all these positions because it allows that it can be done so. But having said so, Thank you for, I assume then that the issue is that please give us time, let's engage, including with our colleagues, let's see, obviously, it can be, when we undertake even this process, it can be reduced to one department. They can have implications or relations with others that will be in the same field, including on how it's going to be trading. I take then the point that from where the minister comes in is saying, we would wish to come back to you with a concrete information, give us space so that we can do all the consultative and give you what is definite, not what is being considered. And I think we it's a matter that from where we sit, we will have then to allow those processes to go ahead. Can we go now to the second part, which was the issue of the forensics? Ella? Yes?
Jefferson, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Chair, you did raise my first question, and I don't think I've got a clear answer, or maybe I missed it, about the proposed organizational structure of the new entity.
Okay, I don't want to answer for the board, but I thought the answer was given. That's why I was given this background to say there is something called in English a parboiled, that we don't want to give you a parboiled information.
we still want to go to cabinet, and then cabinet might come with a completely different perspective. But the principle of integration or merger of the entities, which is agreed, the only what is needed is the final stamp. But I don't know whether, Minister, I'm giving the correct version. I don't want to. I'm not a department, and the fact that you don't have a DM doesn't make me to assume one.
Yeah, sometimes you should. Kevin, I answered that. I said we are going to cabinet with options. Once we are sure what option is preferred, then we can think properly of a structure. So if we will give you a structure now, we'll be putting the cart before the horse. That was the answer. That's why I think Peppers is probably said, what we are coming to do is to come back and give you an updated report after we've gone to cut.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Can we, honorable members, now, because I'm sure this one is going to need more time. We are almost with one hour, so many minutes. Okay, the 1 hour anyway is because the rest will deal with the minutes. We are left with 1 hour for this second one. Any take, honorable members, on the forensics? I take note, Minister, and I think for me, in as much as I take note of the fact that, yes, this predates a long time. We will acknowledge that. I see the hand of Honorable Lorima, Honorable Volmarans, Honorable Milem. Honorable Malinga. That's it, I assume. Okay. Start, Honorable Lorima.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. My question refers to slide 18, the African Exploration, Mining and Finance Company. How much money was involved in the transgression of procurement policies? Was that transgression just with one company or with several companies? And have the Hawks given a timeline by which they will report back to you, and do you know when you will be able to decide whether or not to bring criminal charges? And if those criminal charges are going to be brought, will they be aimed at potentially all four officials that you've reported on? Thank you.
Honorable Vulmarans.
Thanks, Chair. Greetings to all the members of the committee and the officials. As led from the department by the Honorable Minister, let me first look at the forensic update on CEF, the investigation. In the slide, it says investigation are underway. I would want to find how far or what does that mean. And the reason is that at some stage we engaged with the National Solar Heater Project, which is relatively new and recent compared to, for example, that one line that says failure to reinstate officials and or the other one that says payment done on behalf of PASA by CEF to an offshore fraudulent account. So my concern is that they are bundled together and when they could have been set apart. And if they are bundled together and investigations are still underway, where are we with that? That's the first one. The second one is on slide 17. On the problem statement, we have on that slide that says it is the problem statement is for a period of 2017 to 2019. Now on that slide, it is not in sync with the heading where you have the purpose and scope just below that. That talks to the strategic crude oil reserves of 2015 and 2016. So that whole paragraph there is not talking to the same thing. I think it is incorrect, and I would want to find out what is the correct version there. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honourable Mylem.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I've got two questions, and they both relate to the Strategic Fuel Fund. My first question relates to the issue that all of the fingers seem to be pointing to Mr. Gamedi, and it seems unlikely that he acted on his own. It seems very unlikely that there were no controls in place inside the organization, both inside the SFF and the CEF, and that he was able to facilitate this transaction entirely on his own. There must have been other people involved, and it appears to me that this is being glossed over. So I would ask whether there were any other individuals involved, and more particularly, I note that the report indicates that there had to have been an approval from the CEF board and the minister. Now, the report makes it very clear that the CEF board only discovered after the fact that the transaction had taken place that there was a problem. So I can understand that there wasn't an approval from the CEF board. But it doesn't answer the question of what was the role of the minister. Did the minister approve the actual sale of the strategic fuel stocks? My second question, and this is to my good friend Gwedi, we seem to be on a first name basis today. Minister, is it not time that a proper strategic fuel stocks policy was put in place? There was one many years ago, a draft that was never implemented. We've had this discussion before. But is it not time now, given the situation that's arising from the sale of strategic stocks, given the refining constraints that we're down 43% of our refining capacity in South Africa, is it not now urgently necessary that we have a strategic fuel stocks policy put in place? Thank you, Chairperson.
Reverend Maling.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also try and zoom into this forensic report. Chairperson, we had the presentation when the CEO of, I think it's SEF, was outlining what the minister, on the slide that the minister outlined on how the strategic fuel was supposed to be disposed. But I did not see or hear, Chair, that when did the minister, the then minister, learn about the bridge in what she had outlined on how the strategic fuel was disposed. Only that the board knew about this in November 2015, and SEF only saw it when money was deposited in their accounts. Maybe if I can be clarified on that one, Chair. Also, Chairperson, it is true that it's highly unlikely that Mr. Gamete worked alone. Did he have any accomplice in the department? In disposing this strategic fuel? And if he had, has there been any consequence management on that person who assisted Mr. Gamete to defraud the state? Chairperson, I am... Hello?
Continue.
I am worried with the AEMF chair that you get the CEO who just undertook an overseas trip to be blacklisted, but you don't blacklist the person who sold the resource of the state unlawfully. I know that the matter is with the Hawks, but I think the same posture should also be taken with this person who undermines the executive authority to sell the strategic fuel illegally or unlawfully to be also blacklisted, Chair. Chairperson, also on Petro SA. Petro SA was supposed to drill 5 wells, and they have only drilled 3 wells. And the 5 wells were, if I remember correctly, it was supposed to be around 3 billion rand. And now I hear the CEO that is running close to Boma 14 billion rand. What has been the consequence management, Chair? Also, Chair, during our oversight visit, Chair, we got to hear the exact money that had to be paid given the judgment in terms of trying to resolve the issue of the strategic fuel. Minister, SFF is paying billions in this strategic fuel that was sold by this man illegally. And this, they cited, the CEO of SFF cited that should they lose the appeal, they can also even lose the 2 billion rand that is a profit to them. So that is why, Chairperson, I will really want the department to really look into this Gamete, because the more this case is dragged, even the money that is stolen through selling this fuel, we may not recover it, Chairperson. I also heard that SFF, the 3,000 barrels that were sold to Zimbabwe, did we ever get that back? I did not see that on the slide. And what happened to the person who sold that 3,000 barrels? Also, the unregistered company. What happens of the unregistered company? Who was the head of that unregistered company? Oh, Ungondongo Ndunji. Who lent Oyogu Unchonchela in South Africa, Chair? Let me stop the Chair for now. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, honorable members. It's either I'm offside or I can't be offline. I might be derailing on the rails. Just few issues, Honorable Minister. I want to start on the first one. Probably also as a request that when this thing, I'm not taking away what Honorable Mylem was raising. When this thing happened, we acknowledge the fact that you've got unfortunately a responsibility and a duty to respond to matters, whether they're of your creation or what. But we tata footstools. I think here it's two things, is to try and assist the process going forward that such things never happen again, but most importantly is to ensure that we also correct the wrongs that would have happened. Maybe just in addition to my colleagues, the first issue, I'm not sure, I don't want to lie, at some point I was watching the State Capture Commission and they were going to town on what was happening. Two, there are certain informations that probably are not given. That's why I said I hope I'm not offside. Then there is the commissioned forensics. The first thing, when I listened to the Petro SA one, I don't see any major difference, except that Petro SA, they were not selling, they were drilling. But when you look at cost, you don't get any sense that there was someone who was looking at the cost implication of the exercise. But also they were convinced that they were doing the right thing, which is why I'm saying when you look at the forensic on
on the SFF, it's almost the same thing, that at some point everyone believed that they were doing the right thing. Hence, there was continuous approval of what next has to happen. And I don't get sense then that somebody stands up and say, no, they were correctly misled and they had every right to believe that it was correct what they were doing. And I'm here because I was worried the chair, when he was making a set, we ended up with huge cost and so forth for the CEO of SEF. But finally, he gave us a sense that it is correct that 1.5 whatever billion rands by cost today is almost from dollar to rand, it's almost about 14 billion rands. Whether more or not, the truth of the matter is that it's even above 10 billion. Probably that's why Honorable Malinga was saying, Minister, sometimes when it comes to energy, you no longer talk about millions. M does not apply. They talk in bees, and it's huge numbers. So I think it's important just to get a sense, what is it that has been done with regards to that exercise of the drilling? Is it a matter that we should accept that now put it underneath the carpet, or is something that we must pretend it never happened, and your view is that it must be closed? And I would say what I think is to happen. The second part is that I'm not sure whether all these things, we'll have to go back and whether all these things were here in terms of the forensics. Even in Petro SA, because when we were at the Mossel Bay, Labour raised an issue about a forensic report which implicated many executives. I don't know who's the guy who was doing it. Is it Cliff what? I don't know. It's Cliff something who was doing the forensic. I still have to go back to the drawing board. And they said, please, if you can have access to that, you will understand that equally. And their concern was that their crisis now with Petro SA is not only the loss in terms of the drilling, it also has to do with that investigation that was conducted. The third point is a simple one, Minister, is that there are allegations that one, even at Petro SA and in the department, also at SFF, SAF, and the department, there are people who are still within these entities whom both reports make such implications to them. But there's been, for now, no consequence management that has been undertaken. My take was that I understand that. I'm not sure, I'll have to check that one, what they said was commissioned for Petro SA. But what I know, I'm informed, is that on the SFF one, it started a little bit much later, 2018 or 19, which therefore means that maybe, I would say, it may sound a long time, my view is not as long time. Maybe we should then be able to say, can we give you an opportunity? Because what was presented here is a presentation on the forensic report. It's not the forensic report itself. We are not sure. And I must say this, I always remind even officials that when you come to a portfolio committee and you make a presentation, I'm not saying there's something wrong here, and you make a presentation, is treated as if it's under oath, mm-hmm. and you are misleading. So I don't want to say it may not be the case, but can we allow, maybe members will deliberate later, but I want, before the minister can answer, that maybe even for your own benefit, I'm not saying you have not seen it, Minister, for your own benefit, that where there are things now that are directly, that have been identified, that are directly more to do with certain acts of misconduct, let me put it like that, gross misconduct, some anomalies, that can we say at least by June, we should be able to get, including the point, I'm not taking away what Honorable Malema was saying, okay? Can we take something that says, Mr. Luzipo's name is mentioned here, we have gone to him, he has explained his side of the story, if it's a her side of the story, that is the role, and in our view, there is no action to be taken against him or her. So that we know what we are dealing with at the end of the day, that these people, like honorable members say, for me at an administrative, even at a political level, including at a board level, I don't want to assume that SAF didn't know this thing. Where for me it becomes complex, Minister, is when now it includes approvals by National Treasurer. Now, what do we do when National Treasurer is said to have approved? It means also National Treasurer could have been misled. So that's why I'm saying, maybe now we move away from what had happened, we look at consequence management and what would have been the challenges. Why this person was never acted upon, why this institution was never... if there was something wrong with any of the boards and as individuals, what action has been taken? If we could blacklist one person, why can't we do the same thing even to people who are board members? Would have taken wrong decisions. I just wanted to throw that exercise so that maybe we can agree that let's give you space to act on these issues and then be able to report back on a time that you think it will be necessary for you. Obviously, not too long. I said I must flag those issues, Minister, and your team. Now you can answer now.
Thank you, Chairperson. One basic lesson I have learned since I came to this ministry is that one of the mistakes one can commit is to have a dozen mediocre projects going on at the same time and lose focus. And therefore, our approach, as we discussed with the team, is that, listen, guys, let's be focused so that there are concrete outcomes. Because if you just have all the irons on the fire, it may be a very good-looking exercise with minimum results. I'm putting that as a preamble purpose. I will leave the team to answer some of the questions, but let me talk to this one. You have a forensic report. You give it to the Hawks. They're investigating. Do they give you timelines? I'm sure a person like Advocate Mkwena will tell us about this, but I've seen cases that go on and on and on and on. And others that go very fast. But Advocate Mkwena will have to answer that one. What has been the exact consequences? For who? Because as you do the investigation, names are coming up. You are dealing with those cases one by one. Honorable Malinga is worried that we're spending money on this now. But actually, what you will discover, Honorable Malinga, is that we are not paying money. We are returning money to the people that we owe because we had the stock in our shores and we have the money. And all that is happening is to give back the money. But I'm sure a person like Tademuake will be able to give you concrete answers on that. But we are not paying money for the treasury stock. We are returning money that we took and kept the stock. Because the stock is here and the money was here. And what we are appealing, which may cost us, are the hedge costs. We are appealing that. We have been given the right to appeal that because we think it is unfair to have hedge costs on illegal transactions. Now, The third one I want to raise is that I accept the person that when you take over a portfolio, you take that portfolio with its beautiful side and its ugly side. We are now on a mop-up exercise, which is very painful and difficult, and we're doing it. Okay, it doesn't invite friends only to us. It also invites enemies who feel that we are actually trembling on their toes, and we are trembling on those toes. The other issues, I must leave it to the team to answer. What happened to the drilling projects and all that and all that. But let me give you just one throwaway on this one. I normally say this to both the PG and the two CEOs. I say you had a better say that you had 27 billion in reserves and had two drill rigs. Today, the 27,000 billion is not there and the red drill rigs are not there. For, as a better say to drill, it must list drill rigs. I want to leave it at that. I will come back at the end. The team must answer the questions.
No, wait.
One thing that is important here, a chairperson, is to emphasize that to say fingers are only pointing at Gamete may not be factually correct. There were a number of names that I'm hearing appearing there. And there are certain in the forensic report that are said about the minister. But what we are not going to do is to pretend to be judges and begin to find people guilty when the process is underway. We're not going to do that because that is quite a risky exercise. Okay, let me give over to the team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Greetings to the Chair of the Portfolio Committee and all Honorable Members. The question that the Minister has delegated to me to respond to in relation with the investigations by the Hawks, the timeline, as you know that in any investigation, you need to gather information, then it will be upon that you will be able to make a determination. And so as for the Hawks, we can confirm that the department is in continuous engagement almost on a weekly basis with the Hawks gathering information. Now, they would then make that determination because we don't have a control over that process as the department. Now, I think the other question that the minister also, you know, delegated to me, it is around the, you know, investigations, because where there are officials that are implicated, the investigations are ongoing, and at the right time we'll come back to give a feedback to the portfolio committee through the Honorable Minister. But we can confirm to the Honorable Members, as they have raised the concern about some of the officials that are implicated, that the matter is being looked at, and there is a guidance and also the management of the process and guided by the executive authority of the institution. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister and the Chair of the TTC.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you, TG. I would answer the one on SEFSOC, and after which I would give Mr. Mwakhe for SFF responses. You'll then be followed by Mr. Naidu for Petro SA, and then it would be Mr. Bisi for AE and Dr. Masangane for PASA. In terms of the questions that were directed to SEFSOC, the first one is that the investigations are recent, as early as late last year. It was in November, I think, when they started in this regard. So they include mainly two employees in two departments. One is EPD and the other one is finance, in as far as this. And hence you see this issues as if they are a number, but actually they are clustered in concentrated departments. And then the issue with regards to PASA, that's why I've asked as well Dr. Masangane to come in. It's an issue at the part of it is at PASA, but there's a secondary leg at SEF, because we are doing treasury work for PASA as well. So those will be clarified there. I hope I have basically clarified the issues on why are they clustered or cluttered the way, clustered the way they are for SEFSOC. Mr. Mwahi, over to you for all SFF-related queries.
Thank you, CE. Greetings to the chair of the portfolio committee and the honorable members. Greetings to the minister and colleagues from the department and SEF group. CEO, I missed the question when Honorable Volmarans was talking about slide number 17. I lost the link. I'll come back to that if it's related to SFF. Honorable Melam, all fingers pointing at Mr. Gamede, and maybe I just need to set the context on the strategic stock. So there were three legs, actually there are three legs to the strategic stock issue. The first leg was the criminal case. As the minister and DG and CEO mentioned, that is with the Hawks, and the Hawks continues to investigate. We obviously are cooperating with them, where we got information and they're looking for information, so it's ongoing, and unfortunately we're not able to control their pace. And then there was an issue of the civil case, and honorable members, when we started this process, the pressure was the fact that the traders wanted to take stock and collect it, and therefore we focused a lot on the civil case to basically stop that process, which we successfully did. And as Minister said, 20th of November, the court actually agreed with us that, you know, the transaction was unlawful, and therefore reversed that. So as of today, we've got 10 million barrels of crude, which is back in the South African public's hands. And as the minister said, we did not pay the money. We refunded the money that we had. We were paid the cost of oil, average $30 per barrel at the time. We refunded the cost of oil to all the three traders. While the stock was in storage, the traders paid storage fees. We also refunded them storage fees because our argument was the stock belonged to us, and we, the court, agreed with us. What we paid in addition to that was interest and to only one trader who actually agreed with our session that we should refund cost of oil and storage and interest end. The third leg that we are currently dealing with was the leg of the labor law consequence management or wrongdoing. We're not only focusing on Mr. Gamede, Honorable Malem, but we, as we're working on the civil case, we got to the stage where just before the hearing, the counterparties or the traders had to file answering affidavits. And those came with some issues that actually we had to further investigate. And the also the judge, you know, raised some issues with the public document that we've RFL had to look at. That process is ongoing. We are closer to the end, and the investigators are working with IR people, and that will determine if there are indeed wrongdoings from our employees who are currently in the organization and what actions need to be taken. So I would actually agree with the suggestion that we need a bit of space to deal with that, but we are definitely focusing on that. Minister's role, all we know at this stage is the minister did issue the directive, but the minister did not approve the disposal of the significant asset. And that directive had clear conditions. One was due diligence should be done, which was not done. And the second one was do not compromise the strategic stock of the country. And as we know, the rest is history, Chair, that's what happened. When did the minister learn about the sale of the 10 million? As soon as the SEF board was informed, the process was the SEF board saw the money hitting the bank, because SEF is central treasury for the subsidiaries. They then reported the matter to the board. The board then informed the minister. So that's the sequence of events that we know so far. Any other person involved, I think we dealt with that. Chair, is still ongoing process. Why not blacklist Mr. Gamede, Honorable Malinga? Mr. Gamede had left the employ of SFF at the time. There was no disciplinary hearing that happened. And all any other party who is outside of the employ of SFF and SEF is actually being dealt with through the Hawks investigation process. The 300,000 barrels, that case is also in court. While we are trying to resolve the issue with the party who bought the product, the court process is ongoing. We're trying to go after the company which took the product, which took the title of the product. That 300,000 barrel is still in our tank. And so we did not release the barrels, both the 10 million barrels and 300,000 barrels. We did not agree to release them. It's still in our tank. So as we go through the process, the product is still in our possession. The proper strategic stock policy is the minister's question. I think CE, I have actually dealt with the SFF questions, unless there is something that I missed, and I'll hand over back to you, CE. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Petro SA, I don't know if I see question hands, Minister and Chair, I don't know how to handle that.
No, don't worry, leave the hands for me.
Oh, okay, thank you, Chair. Mr. Naidu?
No, thank you, CEO. Good morning, Chair of the Portfolio Committee and Honourable Members. Good morning, Minister, DG, TDGs, and colleagues from the DMRE, and to all the chairpersons and executives from the SEF family, good morning. With regards to the two questions posed around PetroSA, the first one is in reference to Project Ikwezi and the consequence management thereof. The investigations were conducted and the consequence management was implemented that resulted in the termination of two of the executives at the time. I think with regards to the question on the current forensics that are ongoing by SEF, we await the report, and as mentioned by Dr. Pulo earlier, that's expected towards the end of March, and as soon as the report is available, we implement the necessary disciplinary or processes to take effect of the recommendations of the report. The last one is not necessarily a question, but from a comment perspective, with regards to Project Ikwezi, and I know it did come up through the forensics, the reports that are available at PetroSA, the summary that we went through today by Dr. Pulo is the summary of what was prepared from the initiation of Project Ikwezi till the suspension of Project Ikwezi and the consequence management thereof. However, we will be guided by Minister and the Department if more detail is required on that, Chair. Thank you very much, Dr. Pulo and Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Bisi.
Thank you, CE, and good morning, Honorable Minister. Good morning, colleagues. Response from AE, the question that was posed was how much money are we talking about with regards to the non-compliance with procurement processes? What I just want to bring to context is that there were a number of companies that were associated with this one finding, and we are dealing with a few different companies providing different services to the entity. And really the one that we were concerned about, it was around the company that was supporting AE with diesel supply and fuel management system. And secondly, the company that was supplying AE with the mining equipment. We are talking about well over 400 million that is in question amongst the two. And those are the concerns that we are going to further investigate. I must say that it has been a lengthy process to address these issues with the executives that were involved at AE. We have actually just finalized the last matter yesterday, so therefore it means all those that were implicated on the forensic report have been dealt with. And then we cannot really confirm and determine the amount of time that the Hawks will require to assist further in respect with civil claims and the rest. But what we can assure the portfolio committee is that internally at AE, we have actioned the recommendations of the forensic report as they came out. Thank you. Those were the two questions I picked up for AE, CE. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mselan, for BASA. Okay, if Dr. Mselan is not online, the issue with regards to the investigation at BASA was that there was a claim which then proved to be fraudulent for around 1.2 million. It was an offshore claim. There were changes in terms of the banking details, and it was established therefore that they were following forensics, the administrative lapses, because those changes were followed without verification of the documentation, and later on it was found that it was a fraudulent claim. Subsequent to that, I do know that PASA, they were supposed to give us a full report that they did undertake consequence management, to what extent, and part of it was that the second line of defense was supposed to be at SEF, and investigations are underway as to what extent were lapses itself, but the prelim report suggests that the policies that forensic auditors relied on was actually the wrong one. Instead of the international, they were using the domestic, which means therefore all administrative lapses would have been at pass aside, as it were. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm returning it to you now. In terms of the need for a new policy, that's an issue that we can discuss. We're open for that discussion. Thank you.
Okay. I see, honorable members, I don't know whether it's the old hands or is it follow-up hands. Honorable Mailam, Honorable Malinga, are you raising your hands now or they were up then? I saw Honorable Lorim has gone.
Here's the follow-up question.
Okay. Okay, Honorable Mailam, Honorable Volmarans, and then Honorable Maling.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, just on Project Ikwezi, it strikes me that part of the problem that PetroSA encountered was that they had all their eggs in one basket, that they were essentially relying on Project Ikwezi to save their operation. So my question is this, what other alternatives were considered and are being considered to reduce the risk of running out of feedstock? What is PetroSA looking at long term to make sure that they are operational as a going concern? Assuming that, well, either way, whether the merger goes through or it doesn't, we need to keep the plant operational. How are they going to do that? Where are they going to get feedstock from? Thank you, Chair.
Okay,
Chair, it was just the question that I posed that was apparently missed. I think it's by Mr. Mwahi. That's on the slide 17, where on the heading that says the problem statement, and it says what happened in 2017 to 2019. But just below that, when explaining the whole issue on the purpose of scope of the investigation, I think that part is not for that problem statement. It's a wrong one. Because then it says 2015, 2016, and it also talks now about the crude oil reserves as opposed to that issue of Zimbabwe and so on. I think it's not the same thing there. And I would wanted to find out what is the scope of what was happening there. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Honourable Malin.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am also on Project Ikwezi, Chair. Chairperson, Project Ikwezi, according to the slides that the CE was outlining here, from 2007 on PetroSA, they said that they started this thing in with 3x3. Then moved to 2x2. But when we went for oversight in November last year, we found out that they are working on 1x1. So my question is that how long will this be sustained, Chair? Is this a sustainable move or what is the plan moving forward? Also, Chairperson, the CE says that Mr. Kamete was not working alone. He was working with the other two officials. My question is that has there been any consequence on these two officials, and are they officials from the department or officials from the entity? Chairperson, I left the issue of solar water users on purpose because NIO is under forensic investigation because it wouldn't have appeared on forensics if it was not there. Because last year at Taj, we were told that I don't know if the chief director said she's putting her head on the block, the project will be up and running. And the project is a failure, total failure. So I just want to check from the department chair, has there been any consequence management on the part of the project manager, the person who came with this idea of this, but I will follow it up, Chair, when we deal with the oversight report. But I am raising it because it was flighted on our screens. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Malinga, Honorable Volumarans, and Honorable Malem. I'm sure the department will respond. So these are very short questions. I will come back, Honorable Members. Minister, you will also, in the process, do your closing remarks, except to say that criminal procedure and then labor law separate. By criminal procedure, in most cases, it goes with beyond the benefit of doubt. In labor law, it deals with the balance of probabilities. So that is why when we're trying to separate the two, to say that whilst there are these processes, there are processes that will go beyond this exercise. But you can give an answer, Minister, and your team.
Pragasin.
Thank you very much, Minister. Thank you, Honourable Members. With regards to the questions or comments around PetroSA, let me start by saying no, one by one operation is not commercially sustainable for various reasons, but most of those reasons are with regards to the cost structure and the market pricing of feedstock that we currently experience. To mobilize and move to a commercially sustainable process, as also spoken about in November, I'm going to specifically refer to the midstream business, which is Larkin Muscle Bay. The feedstock challenge is to be mitigated via the following. Either gas or liquids. Our preference and number one choice is gas. We currently have indigenous gas in the ground for approximately 3.5 years. That indigenous gas is not commercially sustainable to make liquid fuels, but we are currently progressing to either use that gas to generate power and engage with Eskom, or dispose of that gas to the market, and we're currently in the market with regards to the indigenous gas. With regards to the longer term solution, it's split into two. One is what I'd like to call the short term. We anticipate that to be a period of 5 to 8 years, and I'll share with you now why we're giving the range. In bringing in LNG, we have gone to the market. We're busy evaluating the proposals received. I obviously don't have all the detail due to the procurement process, except to say that directionally, the feedback we're getting is the unsolicited proposals are being seen from a binding or committal or solicited proposal, so that directionally looks very good for us. And the reason for the 5 to 8 years, that is then going to be followed up with what I'd like to call the much longer term solution, and that being the LNG development. But in parallel to those gas opportunities, we are also vigorously exploring and engaging with Total regarding their recent discoveries, and we hope that those due diligence processes of those discoveries also provide a gas source. With regards to the liquid source, it's very, very market dependent. Currently, the market is not as favorable as one would like from a break-even or even a profitable perspective, and we always are scanning the market to see how the liquids feedstock prices do improve. We have seen a little bit of improvement as the oil price has picked up, but it hasn't picked up sufficiently enough to make us purchasing that feedstock commercially viable. But just to end off, our number one preference is on gas for the liquid fuels perspective, specifically LNG, and of course in parallel Total. And then we're going to explore and exploit the indigenous gas that we currently have to make sure that's commercially viable, but specifically dedicated and directed towards gas to power initiatives in the Mossel Bay area. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chair.
That's it. Chairperson, I'm concluding now. Where will feedstock come from? Will come from, will be imported, will come from Total drillings. Petrosa has two blocks in the area. We may get gas there. So that one is a quite a promising area. LNG development in Kuha is actually linked to the resuscitation of PetroSA and development of the gas industry in general. The Mamalinga is troubled by information. We were called to do a certain presentation. She's in a hurry for solar reasons and she's making judgments already. The right thing to do, Honorable Malinga, is to ask the committee to invite us to come and present on solar cases. Don't put judgments before you receive the report. Please, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. President, for giving us the opportunity to be here today. I'm happy particularly to be here myself. I'm hoping that I will have a deputy in the fullness of time. Otherwise, we'll continue acting as the deputy as well. We can't help that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you to the department. For the presentation that have been made. I think for now we can safely say that we've got the information, we understand what is actually happening. Most definitely we will continue, Honorable Minister, to make follow-ups, but obviously within a reasonable time on issues that we think that they are supposed to have been undertaken. And I know that we must continuously maintain, it's unfortunate that it sometimes becomes awkward maintaining the blurring of lines that is not always there between the executive and the administration. It would be, and I don't think it should be the primary focus, obviously, of the department. There are many other undertakings. We have to make a commitment that most of these undertakings that are there, first are about addressing the crisis employment and the increasing gaps in terms of inequalities and the serious challenges that comes with unemployment. And therefore, yes, those issues remain the broad areas of focus that we should never shift our eyes. That is why, as we say, we learn lessons from these past experiences.
with a clear commitment and focus to ensure that at the center is a developmental agenda that must be able to address all these undertaking that we have made to our people. And therefore, we will continue to encourage the department and the minister. Yes, we have done, we have taken stock even from the State of the Nation address to say, can we zoom in, focus on these areas so that we can all be able to make and do a complementary work, and when necessary, obviously, it could be some areas where we think that we need to pick up the pace. The point, though, it remains is that we are here, all of us. We must put the hand on the dock. We must play our different roles with the intention that we are building each other, but at the same time, we are doing the commitments that we've made to our people. So thank you very much for coming here. I won't go to other issues. I'm sure your team can share with you. This thing of your solar water heaters is one of the traumatic experiences that we have. Just this weekend, if they didn't tell you, they presented, and the situation doesn't look good. But we will be dealing with the report, and when the report is finalized, I hope your team will be able to come to you and share with you, because there are other recommendations that we've made in relation to the matter. If they've sustained us in terms of that information, well, that's a matter. The last point I must say is that, yes, we acknowledge we should never be a organization in this sense, from Parliament point of view, that is on a vengeance or purges. But we want to see administrative justice also taking its course. That is why probably from time to time we will be able to say, especially from an administrative point of view, what has been done with this particular area. So that people also must know that you can't just do as you wish and there are no consequences after that. That is one part that we want to put, but it is, we are not saying there should be a whinging program of particular individuals. But where things have happened, degree of accountability must be exercised. Thank you very much. As I have said, that we know that we are meeting as this committee for the first time. We are happy that you are still here working side by side with us on this journey of improving the quality of lives of our people, but also having had the experience of having this directly at home. You are not talking not just to you, but losing one of your own as a family is not an easy thing to us as a colleague that we're working with. Thank you very much that you have been with us. The last point, we can't talk about that one. You must go into Indabin and see what you catch. But good luck for now. You don't even, you are on your own in the department. So from time to time, we will want to see you in the committee. On that note, thank you very much. I'm not saying you can go, you can remain. As we deal with the minutes, Agit.
Okay. Chair, let me go.
Yes, Chair.
Let me go. Okay.
Bye-bye, Digan. Bye-bye, Digan. Okay. Honorable members, the most difficult thing is when you work with your phone. So please bear with me. When's the line, boss? Okay, the minutes of the 23rd of February. Number one. Yeah, I mean, the balance is like stresses. Number one, we're done. Opening remarks. Please go, boss. Number two.
Number three. Number four. Over pass. Number five. Wait. Number five. Who's serious? Yes. Number five. Number six. Number seven, number eight, any move off the minutes?
Chair, I'll move adoption.
Thank you, Honorable Mylam. There's a mover of the minutes. Any seconder?
I second, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any matters arising, including the outstanding issues? None. Don't see a hand. Okay. Let's go to the minutes of the 24th. One, two, three, go to three, four, five, six, seven, any move of the minutes?
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Any seconder?
Seconded, Chair.
Thank you. Any matters arising? Matters arising are that we are dealing with the matter tomorrow.
Yes, Chairperson. I was about to say that I saw the date of the 3rd, but also there are other matters that we just dealt with, like the presentations that we just had from the department.
Okay. On that note.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, it's Kevin Marlam. Chair, I'd just like to raise two minor new issues. We did discuss them briefly on Saturday, and I think that we probably need to formally either adopt or reject them. The first relates to the outstanding audited financial statements and annual reports from the entities and when those will be scheduled. And the second issue is a little bit more personal to me, and that was the issue of the outstanding agreement for the South Sudan oil deal. You'll remember that I asked the question, and Honorable Mahwale suggested that it needs to become a committee request for the agreement to be tabled in the committee. To date, we have never seen that agreement, and we have no idea of what the terms and conditions of that agreement are. So I would ask that those two matters be either adopted or rejected, or some pressure be put on the department and the entities to comply with our requirements. Thank you.
Can I suggest something? I know it might sound longer, Honorable Mylam. I'm not rejecting what you are saying. Can I suggest that when we deal with the program, because now we are just in, when we deal with the program for the next quarter, we take that into consideration and then we can adopt it to be part of the program, or I don't like to say we may reject it, we may have a disagreement on either or on both or none, no disagreement at all when we adopt it, so that if we agree, then it means we'll have to include it on the program.
Chair, I can live with that.
Okay. Because obviously we've got a point on this one. I don't know. In the meantime, we'll have to seek guidance. I know maybe it's not a common experience, but I know it's difficult to deal with a budget when you don't know what people have done. It's better when people are told that their books are so bad that they cannot be audited. Then you know when you deal with the budget that you are dealing with this situation. Now, my main worry, exactly like you say, is that we have not received a correspondence, and I did make a commitment that I will also check with the chair of the AG committee, oversight committee. What is it? Or how could they facilitate this exercise? It's a right thing that the AG could do this. I'm not saying also I'm avoiding tension, but it's not good when the same people you have expected to guide you and play also a much more broader watchdog.
Chair, please unmute.
Yeah.
Okay, let me call him. I don't know, he's still muted.
I share a different view with Sorenso on this matter, and then the committee takes a decision or makes a recommendation on the matter. So I'm saying I don't know at what point. I'm saying we have to. Normally, I was the one who said, once a matter is raised in the committee, then that matter becomes, even if you do it aside, if you return, you must go take it back. Unfortunately, the department never said it's a matter between them. They were comfortable that the matter is raised in the committee. It's a matter then that, from a committee point of view, we need to agree or disagree, and but if we agree, there has to be a way that we suggest it must be processed. I don't think it's a big deal. On that note, honorable members, let's meet again tomorrow. Same time, ne? Same place.
Yes, Chair.
Same place.
Yes, sir.
In the air.
Virtually, Chair.
No, it's in the air. Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. Let's meet tomorrow. Take your 10 minutes that I've granted you and use it effectively. Meeting stands adjourned.
Deal with your iPad, Chair. Deal with your iPad.
No, I'm going to deal with it. The other thing is that I'm already in Parliament.